I think hallelujah goes right there. I appreciate our kids. I'm here to tell you, every time I hear them two girls sing, I picture two little kids about that tall standing behind Miss Janice at the piano, her teaching them how to sing harmony. I sat there listening to those beautiful voices tonight, and I thought, man, you know, they could sing anywhere. As far as I know, they've never sang karaoke in a bar somewhere. They're not trying out for American Idol, not trying to be some celebrity, amen. They're too busy singing about a celebrity. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Miss Vanessa, help yourself. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Right.
The only thing they can do is surgery. But I know I've seen too many miracles.
That's right.
My sister Ashley, where she is now, I've seen Tanya, my daughter-in-law.
Yep.
I've seen Donna, where she is. And I've seen Anthony. And I know that all those cases were hopeless.
Yep. Yeah, brag on him, Zach.
Yeah. I just want to thank you.
Yeah.
I just want to praise you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Has it for Thomas or not? I don't care.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Lord, if it was in his will, and if it's not, it's okay. Because he's going to give us grace and mercy. Amen. I just want you to live tonight.
Amen.
Thank you for your prayer.
Yeah.
Thank you for the peace.
Hey. That reminded me of another testimony a few years ago. A little mother stood up right over there. She said, I'm praying and trusting God for a miracle. But if he takes my daughter, I'm going to praise him anyway. Y'all remember that? I think that's what God's waiting on sometimes. He's waiting on us to say, God, I'm going to serve you and I'm going to worship you, not if, but because. Amen. Not if you answer this prayer. You've done enough for me already. And God, I'm going to give you the glory no matter what you decide to do. And then God says, okay, I got you. Okay, Abraham, I understand. You're willing to go the distance there, son. You've proved I'm God. That's all it takes. Here's a ram. Amen. Caught in a thicket by his horns. Amen?
Amen.
Too many times we want to bargain with God. I'll do this if you'll do that. I'd ask you to raise your hand if you've ever prayed a prayer like that, but some of you'd lie and not raise your hand. Amen. I've made bargains with God. Foolishly, not knowing any better. I don't bargain with him anymore. I remember catching myself one night praying. I said, God, if you'll do this one thing, God, I'll... And the Holy Ghost stopped me right there. What are you going to do if he don't? What are you going to do if the answer's no? Are you going to serve him anyway? The Lord kind of changed my way of thinking on that whole deal. I just made up my mind one day, you're God regardless, amen? And you sure know a lot more about this thing than I do. Take your Bible and go to Psalms chapter number 17 tonight. Sunday night, I believe it was, we preached on the lines being fallen to us in pleasant places. in pleasant places. And certainly our state and our standing in Christ is a pleasant place.
Amen.
Would you agree to that?
Amen.
Having a good home and a good family is a pleasant place.
Amen.
Having a church that believes the Bible and worship in the old time way. And we don't got to worry about people coming to the altar embarrassing us or somebody shouting and that embarrassing. Man, that stuff's in order. Maybe out of style, but it's in order. Amen? Amen. It's a pleasant thing to come to church here to me. Whether it is to you or not, it's a pleasant thing. It's not something I have to endure. It's something I enjoy. The lines are falling unto us in pleasant places. But listen, in these pleasant places, we will also find some slippery places. Won't you look at Psalm 17, keep your Bible open. We're going to go over to Psalms chapter 26 in just a minute. But don't you look at verse number 5. Of Psalms chapter number 17, where the psalmist said, "Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps," say the next two words with me, "slip not." Made me think about that old song somebody wrote and sang years ago, "I can't even walk without you holding my hand." He said it, I thought to myself, I was a mighty big man. But one day, God, I realized I couldn't even walk without you holding my hand. And here's what David's saying. He said, God, hold me up as I travel. God, hold me up with your strong, mighty hand as I journey through this life, that my foot slip not. Amen. We ought to be like children holding the hands of our Father as we go across a parking lot to keep us from danger and to keep us from falling. I remember when Levi was a little boy and we'd walk across the parking lot. You know how parents do, each one get a hand, you swing them over stuff. I just did it one-armed. I'd swing Levi over this and over that. I mean, he is so light and little, before he'd stumble, already had his feet off the ground. That's the way God is with us, amen. If we'll allow him to hold our hand. Now Hayden's a different story. He don't want to be led. He don't want you holding his hand. I grab the back of his shirt so lightly that he can't feel I've got it. He thinks he's running the show, but if he gets out of line, I've got enough fingers on him, I can jerk him back. Amen. I think that's the way the Lord is with us sometimes. Yeah, go ahead, big boy. You think you on your own. Amen. And just the time the feet come out from under you, he picks you up again. Amen. Thank God. The Lord put this verse, Brother Charles mentioned about the slippery places Sunday night after I was preaching. And I thought about something that I witnessed in my yard the other day. And just a simple thought, and we'll go to the house. But every day at about 4 o'clock, if I'm home, my horse has an internal clock. And she knows that at 4 o'clock every afternoon, it's time to eat. And she'll start her little parade in the pasture. And it's a small pasture, but she starts at the gate where I feed her. And she runs around the pasture all the way around. And she bucks and she kicks and she whinnies and she neighs. And she runs wide open all the way back around the gate. And she'll get just about the gate and she'll sit down on her haunches and slide up there and stop. Like a good quarter horse ought to do. Amen. The other day, and I liked watching her. I was really just letting her run. I was wanting to video her on my phone, and I did. But she made about 2 laps, and it had been raining all day long. She made a lap around the pasture, bucked and kicked and hollered and yelled. And she got right back around to the gate, and she went to throw the brakes on. But she didn't stop. I thought the poor girl was going to Douglasville. Them front feet was appalling like that, and buddy, she was just a sliding in the mud. I standing on the porch and I said, "Hey, sister, the conditions have changed."
Yeah.
Amen. I just got news for you tonight, Christians. The conditions have changed. My wife and I were sitting on the couch some time ago watching Andy Griffin, and I said, "Honey, why can't times be like they used to be?" It was a lot simpler time. Would I be stepping out of bounds if I said maybe that in those early days of America, I mean, when America started to flourish and everybody that wanted a job had a job, and the American dream was coming true for seemed like everybody, and boy, the America for the most part loved God and honored God and honored the things of God. Would I be stepping out of bounds if I said I believe it was easier to live for God then than it is today?
I mean, that wouldn't be too far-fetched. Brother Charles, do you remember a day when there was less pressure on the child of God? Brother Atkins, do you remember when it was a lot more simpler and it was just a common thing that people loved God? Amen. If somebody mentioned God's name on television or in Congress, nobody marched and carried signs. Nobody protested it. If you mentioned something about the Lord's Prayer at a football game, it didn't draw the media's attention. I'm telling you, we are living in slippery places. And I'm watching God's people slide off the cliff by the hundreds, and I'm sick and tired of watching them not just slip down, but slip out. But slip out. What my little quarter horse couldn't understand, and when she hit the brakes, I thought it was funny at first till I saw her lose control. Do you know how quickly she could have snapped a leg? And it would have been no good for anything anymore. Do you realize how easy it would be from where you are right now to slip into some kind of sin or some kind of mess that would destroy your testimony forever? You understand that? Getting out of the will of God is way easier than getting in the will of God. People will not remember you getting right with God, but they'll sure remember you getting wrong with God. We're living in a day you don't have to search for porn on the internet. It'll pop up all by its stinking self. Amen. I remember our Christian school, the first computer we ever had. Brother Greg Godfrey and myself and Miss Melody Speck, I believe Miss King, and maybe my wife was in there. You remember, Greg, we were setting up that computer in that office we built in that middle hall. I'm pretty sure he was in there. And Greg said, I bet you can order chick comic books on this computer. You remember that? You remember what you pulled up? You did it. Brother Greg typed in chick. Chick.com, that's what he did. And buddy, it wasn't Jack Chick we got. And Brother Greg was hitting buttons going, it won't go away, it won't go away, it won't go away. And I reached down behind the thing and unplugged it. I'm telling you, if it's that easier for me and Greg to stand, stumble on it in the front of our wives, I mean, it wasn't something we were secretly trying to do. We didn't mean to do that. But I'm just telling you how powerful Satan is and how wicked that sucker is. Are you listening to me? No reverence for a house of God. He came right through that screen, whether we invited him or not. And if Brother Greg and I can stumble on it by mistake, how easy do you think it is for our young people? But yet as adults, we set no safeguard for our families. Oh, I trust my children. You're an idiot. Well, my son's saved. Big whoop. Slippery places. Slippery places. Do you know, I don't know why I'm getting on this. I promise you it ain't in my notes. Do you know where? Thank you, Leo. Do you know where? What's his name at Eat People? Jeffrey Dahmer, wasn't that his name? Do you know where his problem started? This out of his own mouth from a prison cell. He said his problem started and his evil thoughts started when he was walking home from school one day and he found a perverse magazine on the side of the road. And it was filled with torture stuff and all this wicked, I mean, boy. And you know what it did? It warped his mind. It warped his mind. And by the way, you're born with the same kind of brain he's born with. And I know now they talk about you're born with this gene or you're born with that gene. Let me tell you something. The devil can mess with any mind. I don't care if it's Levi jeans or Wrangler jeans. I don't care what kind of genes you've got. The devil can mess up. Amen. Your mind. We're living in a day when the God's people are walking and treading in slippery places. People have always committed adultery. As long as there's been man, just about. But boy, I've never seen it so prevalent as it is today. There was a day in Villarica, Georgia, when if somebody got divorced, everybody in town knew it. Now divorce is coming to the church house as often as it is the jailhouse. You know why? I've got a feeling because we're saved, we feel like we're running on dry ground.
You're right. Come on, preacher.
It didn't rain a lick today. It did just a little bit this afternoon. But about 4 o'clock today, I heard my horse out there whinnying. It's dry as it can be. She made that loop around the pasture. She come around headed toward the gate, and she slowed her down to a trot.
Yeah.
She remembered. It was dry, but she remembered sliding to the other end of the pasture, nearly killing her fool self. Amen. You'd think we'd have as much sense as a horse. Amen. That we might remember when we slipped and messed up last time. And remember, when you get to that spot, you better start backing off a little bit. Amen. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, God's people, we ought to be a little bit more careful with our lives and careful with ourselves and careful with our walk and careful with our talk before we slip and fall. Amen. And you can use that excuse all you want. Well, a just man falleth 7 times, rises up again. Yeah, but it shouldn't be on purpose. Amen. Let me say it again. It shouldn't be on purpose. Go to Psalms chapter number 27. I'll try to hurry tonight. Lord of mercy. We need this, though. I ain't no doubt about it. We need to be reminded. Probably won't tell you anything you don't know. But one of these days, it's going to start evidencing itself by showing up in your life. Amen. Amen. That's what kills me. We're living in a part of the country. Everybody's door you knock on knows this book.
Yeah.
To hear them tell it. Oh, I know what the Bible says. Well, if you know what it says, why are you living the mess you're living in?
Amen.
I've been in church. I was raised in church. Well, you ought to know better.
That's right.
You ought to know better than cheat on your wife.
Yes, sir.
You ought to know better than abuse your kids. You was raised in church, been in church all your life, been reading the Bible all your life, then your life ought to be a little different than what it is. Somebody help me right there.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody told me this week, I'll just tell you who it was. It was Brother Stacy. He said, man, I'd give anything if I'd have gotten that church 20 years ago. Ain't that what you said? And he didn't say this, but I just read between the lines. I think he was saying, that's a whole lot of junk I'd have missed. That's a whole lot of memories I got in my mind and a whole lot of visions I see when I lay down at night. And I wouldn't have to experience those things if I'd have been where God wanted me to. Something like that. Are you listening? Raised in church. Me too. These things we ought to just know better.
Yeah, right. Amen.
I'm going to try and help you tonight and tell you how to keep from slipping. The best of you are going to mess up.
Amen.
Do you understand that?
Amen.
The best of us are going to mess up.
Amen.
We're not going to reach sinless perfection till we've got a body like his.
Right.
And there's a crowd that teaches and preaches you can. Baloney. Let me follow you around for a week or two.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on.
Don't die on me. Everybody sitting in a pew under the sound of my voice from the pulpit to the balcony, ain't but two in the balcony, and they wicked too.
Amen.
Our soul saved on its way to heaven, but they still an Adamic nature living in here too. Amen. I mean, it wants to cuss when it gets mad. Wants to strike when it's struck at. Wants to bite when it's pushed in a corner. You listening? I want us to look. We're going to look at these verses in Psalms chapter number 26 just for a few minutes. I want to show you how you can keep from slipping. Look at verse number 1 of Psalms 26. David said, judge me, O Lord. Stop. How can I keep from slipping? When's the last time you asked God to judge you? Now, here, I hear this all the time. I'm tired of everybody judging me.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
I ain't coming to that church. I'm tired of everybody judging me.
Yeah.
What's wrong?
Yeah. Right,
got something to hide?
Yeah.
Amen.
You shouldn't worry about me judging you.
Yeah,
right. All I can judge what I see.
Yeah.
I can judge what you got on. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
My mama called me today and told me a story. She said somebody sent it to her on an email. And she, mama knows, she just, I tell her, quit sending me all that junk. So now she just calls and reads them to me. Yeah. But there was this church, this Baptist church, and there's a lady in the church. She is the biggest busybody in town. And there was a new guy, hadn't been coming to church very long, and he was just real quiet and kind of kept to himself. Well, one day she was driving home, and she saw his truck parked across the street from a bar. Why, she spread it through the whole community, all through the church. I'll have you know, Brother so-and-so, his vehicle has been seen parked across from the bar several days in a row, blah, 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 blah. Went on and on and on. The old fella got word of it. He didn't say a word. That night, after it got dark, he just quietly drove down her street, parked his truck in front of her house, and left it for about 3 days. Amen. That'll fix her, amen. We're worrying about everybody else judging what they can't see. And half the time when people judge what they can see, they get a wrong conception or a perception of what they are seeing. So they're judging wrongly. So what are you worried about? Do you know what kills me? The people who usually bark the loudest are dead dog guilty. Amen. I tell you, you throw a rock in a pack of dogs, the only one's going to yelp is the one it hits. Man, people talk about me all the time. I could care less. Y'all all right? But here David says, judge me. Who? Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Now, he's asking for it. He's not saying, I'm tired of all this judging. He's saying, judge me. Oh, Lord. You remember, he's the one who knows the thoughts and the intentions of the heart? You remember? You remember? He's the one who knows you inside better than you know you outside. Yeah. Amen. When's the last time you asked God to judge you? And meant it. I'm trying to help you to keep from slipping. Y'all okay? Here's what he's saying. God, check me out. See if I measure up. What does God use for a measuring stick? Anybody got any idea? His word. He's not going to measure you up. Well, I just don't believe in a God who would send somebody to hell. I don't believe in a God. You just don't believe in the Bible.
That's right.
That's your problem. God's not going to judge you according to what you don't know. He's not going to judge you according to what was not available to you. If you pull out here and it's the middle of the night, and even if somebody plows the 35-mile-an-hour sign down out here and you don't even see it and you're running 60 and Barney gets you out here, he's going to write you a ticket. You can say, well, I didn't see a sign. I didn't know it was 35. Anybody know what the law states? Ignorance is no excuse from the law.
Amen.
It's available. And it's more available in America than it is anywhere in the world. Amen. They sell them at Walmart. King James Bible. They have them at the dollar store. It's available everywhere you look. Every motel and hotel in America, every hospital room, in the drawer by the bed is a Bible. Every one of them have the plan of salvation. Every one of them explain that you're a sinner. We're without excuse.
Amen.
Judge me, O Lord. It wouldn't hurt us one bit if we just got on our face and said, God, judge me. If you'd take a break from judging everybody else, God may be saying, I can't get a word in edgewise. You're so busy judging everybody else, you ain't got time for me to listen to me judge you.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. The reason we don't want to ask God, we're more interested in Facebook's opinion than we are God's opinion. Because
right.
In our heart, we know that God's opinion's the only one that matters.
You're right, preacher.
Amen. Was it Lee Robertson that said, life is short, time is fast, only that which is done in Christ will last? It's all that matters.
Amen,
what God thinks is all that matters.
Yes.
Judge me. Trying to help you keep from slipping.
Amen.
Judge me. Judge me, Lord. For I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I, watch this, shall not what?
Slide.
Why shall I not slide? Well, I walked in my integrity and I trusted in the Lord.
Amen.
You want to keep from sliding in this sin-sick, slippery world? You better trust God. Quit trusting your instincts. I had a lady tell me just the other day, she said, "Preacher, I'm sorry, but if it goes through my mind, it comes out my mouth." You're lying.
Amen.
I bet you don't cuss in front of your mama.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
Amen.
Y'all right?
Amen.
You better start trusting the Lord and quit trusting your feelings.
Yeah.
Amen. Your feelings will get you in a mess.
Right.
Well, I just don't feel like, it doesn't matter what you feel. I had a lady tell me just a while back, she didn't agree. I hit that thing about eternal security. God knew she'd be here. God knew she'd be here. Said to somebody else, you know, and then it got to me, well, I just don't believe that. I just don't feel like it. It doesn't matter what you feel.
That's right.
I come to that conclusion a long time ago. It doesn't matter what I feel about a verse. Well, I just don't feel it. God didn't ask me to feel it. He asked me to believe it.
Yes.
Amen. Sometimes my flesh don't feel like praying. Sometimes my flesh don't feel like reading the Bible. Neither does yours. You better quit trusting your flesh and you better just trust God. Amen. Well, what am I trusting? Trust His Word.
Yes, sir.
You can't trust something you ain't read.
That's right, preacher.
You better be getting a dime. I'm trying to keep you from falling. I'm trying to keep you from sliding. Let me tell you something. Every single time my flesh tries to act up, and sometimes it goes on and does it.
Yes.
I guarantee you, every time I start to mess up, I think about a verse of Scripture. Does anybody do that besides me? I'm talking about a verse of Scripture. That thing about setting no unclean thing before your eyes and all that stuff, you know. It just pops in my head. Where'd that come from? Where'd that come from? Does it ever aggravate you? Am I being too real? Y'all expect me to be all holy and pious. What is that, Brother Charles? That's a stuttering priest. Is that right? That's Mel Tillis's mother became a nun. You better quit trusting in your flesh, and you better start trusting God and what He said. Amen? Trust His Word. What's the old song say? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, quote it till you're sick of quoting it.
Amen.
Amen. If you're saved, you ought to have that committed to memory.
Amen.
Amen. Trust in the Lord. It'll get you through, friend, and it'll keep you from messing up if you'll trust God. Well, what are you saying? He won't lead you somewhere bad.
Amen.
I had a preacher tell me one time, and he's a very famous preacher, very famous. Told me out of his own mouth. He said, "Man, you don't believe where I handed out tracts yesterday." I said, "Where?" He said, "In an adult store." I said, "You're an idiot." He said, "Holy Ghost told me to go in there and give them people a tract." I said, "That wasn't the Holy Ghost."
That's right. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
I've been in one of them places before I got saved. You can't blind. There ain't no blinders. He just won't see how close he can get to sin.
Yeah.
Y'all don't die on me. And blame it on God. I felt like the Lord led me in there. Huh? Nah. 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 You ain't got no big ass under your shirt. Nah. Nah. God didn't lead you in there. Y'all okay? Y'all think I'm making this up? So God, I'm telling you, God is my witness. That's what He said. God told me, I felt like the Holy Spirit laid on my heart to go in there and give them people a gospel tract. Why didn't you wait on the sidewalk till they got off?
Yeah. Right,
if you're so impressed. Anyway, we better quit trusting our flesh.
Amen.
We better quit trusting how we feel. Listen, I don't always feel good.
Yeah.
Man, these times I'm sick at my stomach, got a headache. I better not trust how I feel. I better learn to trust God and what He said and to know that His ways are pure and His ways are right. Amen?
Amen.
Verse number 3. I said I'd get through these. Lord have mercy. Verse number 3. Watch what he said. Look at verse number 2. This goes right along with verse number 1. He said, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me, try my reins and my heart. But he's really asking for it, isn't he? If we got on this altar and just really sincerely sought out verse number 1 and verse number 2 for ourselves, we'd have revival.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm telling you, people be going to one another and confessing junk.
You're right, preacher.
All right, come on. Amen.
If we get hold of them two verses, we want God to try everybody else.
You're right.
Judge them.
Yes, sir.
You said, vengeance is mine, I will recompense, saith the Lord. What are you waiting on? Get him. You ever prayed like that? God don't see why you let that sucker live. I prayed that prayer. God, you need some help. Have gun, will travel. Y'all all right? We want God to judge. We want God to try everybody else. But, oh, Lord, if we really wanted him to try us, you know what he'll do? He'll try you. Look at verse number 3. He said, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I've walked in thy truth. I said, number 1, ask God to judge you. Number 2, trust the Lord. Number 3, remember he loves you. Remember how much he loves you. Do you know why I live for him? Because he loves me. He deserves my life. I mean, let me just say that again. That ought to just register with some of you. He deserves my life. He loved me enough to save it from hell and damnation. If there was no hell, if there was no heaven, I was hell-bound toward a miserable life. He fixed all that. I got a loving wife. I got precious children. I'm telling you, man, God's been good to me. Man, I live for him, and I try to do right as best I can. Why? Because he loves me. Let me tell you something. Everybody talks about how mean and crazy I was when I was growing up. You know the one reason I ain't never spent a night in jail? One reason. I never spent a night in jail. I'm going to give it to you. I was scared to death to break my mother's heart. That's God's truth. I stayed just far enough away from it. I never got behind the wheel doing crazy junk. I let my friends do it. Y'all listening? Oh, yeah, I partied like the rest of them is, but we went way out in the woods and done it, didn't we? Amen. Listen, there was a fear inside of me. I remember one night Brother Freddie was at the skating rink. What do they call it, Sparkles now in Hiram? I don't know what they called it then. It was a skating rink. And this guy tried to give me this blotter acid on us. It was Snoopy, had Snoopy on it, on a stamp. And everybody's putting them on their tongue. And I wouldn't do it. There was something inside me. It said it would break your mama's heart. I watched my daddy when I was 4 years old pull up in the driveway with another woman that he's already married to while he's married to my mama, went in the house and got all his clothes, packed them in the car with that other woman, and watched him drive out the yard. And I watched my mama weep, and I watched my mama cry for day in and day out. And somewhere in my little old childlike heart, I made up my mind, I'm never going to hurt somebody who loves me like she loves me. The Lord saved me. Somebody loved me like that. And I don't want to break his heart. God knows I've done it. There's a lot of things I hid from mama, but I ain't never hid nothing from God. He knows every secret, man. He knows every little dark place. He knows every bad thought. He knows every bad dream. He knows every bit of it. And God knows I don't want to break his heart. Why? Because he loves me like he does. I'm trying to tell you. Man, if you'll keep in your mind how much God loves you, to help you do right. Amen. It'll help you do right. Let's see. Watch this one. Verse number 4. He said, I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of, say it with me, evildoers, and will not sit with who?
The wicked.
The wicked. You don't want to fall? Stay away from the wrong people. It's that simple. You don't want to slip? Stay away from the wrong people. Don't want to get caught up in gossip? Quit hanging around with people who do. I'm going to hit this every service till some of y'all get it. Some of y'all need to go home and defriend, unfriend, whatever you call that. I mean, cut them suckers off. Hey, if they got something bad to say about your preacher, something bad to say about your church, something bad to say about people you go to church with, you're just as wicked as they are if you read it. Who's a talebearer going to if he ain't got nobody to talk to? Maybe they'll get a clue and say, everybody, nobody wants to be my friend. Well, quit making a sewer out of your mouth and somebody might care about what you got to say. I made a statement from this pulpit in the old building years ago. And I always preach this to young people, but it applies to old people just as good. Middle age, all of us. You are now, or you will become who your friends are.
Right.
You are now, or you will become who your friends are. Mark her down, friend. You hang out with a bunch of idiots.
Yeah.
I used to tell my mama all the time, she'd say, don't you run around with him, don't you run around with him. You stay away from Stacy Bullock. No, she didn't. You stay away from this. And I'd say, Mama, it don't matter what they do. That don't mean I got to do it. Did you know I never sold marijuana one time in my life? Not once.
Amen.
Not one time have I ever sold marijuana, ever. I ain't say I ain't smoked it. I'm going to go Bill Clinton. I didn't inhale. Amen. Seriously, never sold marijuana in my life, but I hung out with some people who did. There wasn't a day went by in Paulding County High School. Paulding County High School had a smoking area when I was there. I'm serious, heart attack. You could smoke outside. Yep. Never a day went by somebody didn't walk by me and say, hey, man, you got a joint? I said, man, I ain't got no pot. Why not, man? They assumed I did because of who I ran with. Are y'all understanding this? Be careful who you hang around. Be careful who you hang around. Married ladies, don't hang out with single ladies. They can talk about and do things you can't talk about and do. Amen. Same goes for us men. Be careful. Be careful who you hang around with. Amen. I had to tell a bunch of my buddies, and Stacy would know every one of them, but they was a crew I used to coon hunt with every week. I thought because I got saved, I didn't have to do what they did, and I could just hang out with them. First Friday night, they pulled up in the yard. I jumped in the truck. There's 12-pack of beer sitting there in the seat. Well, I don't have to do what they do. Guess what? It wasn't long. I was, oh, give me one.
Yeah.
Well, you couldn't really be saved. I'm saved as you are.
Yeah.
I was as saved as Charles Dyer is.
That
soul was saved, but that flesh remembered what them suds taste like.
Yeah, come on, Richard.
And I remember standing in my driveway one day and looking at two of my dearest friends in their face and saying, I can't go. What's the matter? Old lady won't let you? Ain't got nothing to do with old lady. I said, man, I just can't go. And I had to be honest with them. Why, man? I said, because I know he's beer in that truck. Oh, you big Mr. Holy Roller now. No. You think you better than us? No. I ain't better than you. That's why I can't go. I'm trying to stop that, and if I go with you, I ain't going to be able to do it. Those two very men have as much respect for me today as anybody I know. One of them came to my house years earlier and done some work for me at my house. And in the middle of digging a post hole on my property, he stops the machine he's running and just stands there and looks at me. I said, what? He said, I just want to tell you I appreciate the stand you took. He said, I didn't understand then, but I do now.
Yes,
that's all he said. Went back up. I'm standing there and my mouth hung open. Be careful who you're running with. Be careful who you're conversating and who you're talking with. Now, I've got three or four preacher friends. They after me all the time to do the Twitter thing. And they probably ain't nothing wrong with that if you do it right. But I've got enough temptation without fooling with it. I know preachers are the world's worst. One preacher messes up, it's going to be all over Twitter. I don't want to hear all that stuff. I have to hear enough without trying. I'm going to New York tomorrow. There's going to be about 45, 50 pastors or youth pastors there. You don't think every one of them, well, at least half of them is going to come to me and say, have you heard? Be careful who you hang around. You hang around with critical people, you're going to become critical. Amen. Somebody made this statement, and I believe it is right, said Happy Valley, that bunch is crazy.
Amen.
Amen. We're nuts, man. Screwed on the right boat.
Amen.
We have more fun than that dead crowd does.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
We attract those who are like us. Amen. Say amen, Brother Joe. Amen.
Woo.
If Brother Rusty Adams was in here, he'd be shouting tonight.
Yeah.
Amen. Be careful who you hang around. Mm. Let's see. I don't know if I'm going to give you all this or not. Y'all still okay?
Yes, sir.
Number six. Verse number six. He said, I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord. I said, number one, ask God to judge you. Number two, trust the Lord. Number three, remember God loves you. Number four, stay away from the wrong people. Number five, stay innocent by having a prayer life. You listening?
Yeah.
Read the verse again. He said, man, I ain't going to bypass that altar. I'm going to hit that altar.
Yeah.
I'm going to wash my hands. How do we wash our hands? How do sinners cleanse their hands? We confess our sins.
Yeah.
Are y'all listening? I did some physical labor today. I got sweaty and grungy. I got the greasiest hair of anybody that ever lived. I do. I go to sleep tonight. I wake up in the morning and be matted to my head. Just born that way, I guess. Man, I thought, you know what? I'm nasty. I better go in there and take a shower before church. I was talking to my neighbor, Brother Thomas Ray. I said, man, I got to go home and get cleaned up. I ain't got much time. He said, you better shave while you're there. He said, I said, yeah, because I hadn't shaved. I took a shower. You know why? I felt dirty. I felt dirty. How many of you can handle going to bed grimy? I can't stand it. There's a man who used to live down the road from Brother Charles Dyer. They have a junkyard. And that man was in the bed with a flu, rebuilt the transmission in his bed. That's the truth, isn't it, Brother Charles? Greasy Bill, that's what they called him. And brother, he lived up to his name. I guarantee you wasn't no flies landing on him. Brother, he was coated tar baby. That's who he was. He was coated. I couldn't sleep like that. Oh, my soul. I can't sleep in a motel if I find a hair in the bed. If my flesh don't like to be filthy, I don't mind getting dirty. But brother, I want to get cleaned up as quick as I can. Amen. Listen, the only way we're going to stay clean is we're going to have to stay fessed up.
Yeah.
We're going to have to wash ourselves daily. Washing with the what? The water of the Word, man. That book will clean you up.
Yes, sir.
Your prayer life will clean you up.
Amen.
Man, it's hard to pray when you've got a bunch of unconfessed sin.
Right.
If you've got a bunch of unconfessed sin and you're still praying, let me tell you what you're doing. You're saying, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. He said, that's not what I say. You might as well be. God is good. God is great. How's that go? Thanking for the food I just ate, something like that. I forgot how that went, that little blessing prayer. God's good. God's great. Thank God. Let's eat. Something like that. Amen. Pass the meat. You might as well be praying like that. Hey, you might as well be stuttering none. Amen. You might as well be saying the rosary. Just go ahead and get you some beads and rub them too. He said something about your iniquities have separated between you and your God.
That's right.
Man, we ought to come in here with clean hands. Well, let me say it again. You know what? It'd be a whole lot easier to lift them up if they were clean. Last time my wife's car broke down, I remember working on that thing, and I'd worked on it all day on Saturday, and it had grease. I couldn't get all that grease. I was embarrassed to death, standing there shaking hands. but visitors leaving on Sunday had a grease up under my finger. I mean, I ain't scared if people know I don't mind working. You know what I mean? But I didn't want people to see that.
Yeah.
You know what? God sees past some fingernail.
Yeah.
He looks down. I'm trying to tell you how to keep from slipping and falling. The longer you go without confession, and I ain't talking about a booth.
Yeah.
The longer you go without confessing your sins, the easier it is to mess up.
Amen.
Amen. The easier it is to mess up. It's easier to get that stuff done quickly. Like immediately. Do you ever ask God to forgive you your sin right after you done it?
Yeah.
I don't wait till I get to church. Oh, Lord, I just messed up. He goes, I know you did. Amen. I'm talking about right then, right there. God, forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. Boy, if you'll make a habit out of that, getting clean ain't such a big chore. When I work on that grimy, stinking piece of junk car, man, it takes time. I mean, I got to get in there and dig out from under my fingernails where it laid on the concrete and got oil in the hair and my hair. You can't get near her car without getting something on you. And get that stuff on you. I mean, boy, you got to scrub hard. But, buddy, when you kind of stay clean, it's a whole lot easier.
That's right.
We are, how long have I been preaching? Stay innocent by having a prayer life. Look at verse number 7. Verse number 7. That I may publish. Watch this. With the voice of what?
Thanksgiving.
And tell of all what? Thy wondrous work. I ain't going to brag on me. I'm going to brag on you. Listen, I'm not praying. Listen, what I'm saying is number whatever this is. Be thankful. Be thankful. I'm not praying Anthony Bennett comes walking through that door so I can say, oh, look how good our church prayed.
Right.
I don't give a flip who gets the credit, man.
Right.
I'm going to shout the glory to God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to thank Him.
Yeah.
I got up this morning, fixed me some toast with some of the finest muscadine jelly, thank you, Miss English, I've ever ate in my life, and I'm about out. And I got me a banana out of the basket in the kitchen. Had them green lines on the edges. Them's good bananas. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Them that make you go, tart. I can't stand old brown banana. That's hog food, amen? I sit there and eat that. You know what I did? I had 2 pieces of wheat toast, some muscadine jelly, and I had that nanner. I sit there, I had that nanner in that hand. I had a piece of toast in that hand. And boy, I'm home, I'm all by myself, ain't nobody around. I said, Lord, I sure appreciate this banana.
Amen, brother.
Amen. I promise you, I ain't making this up. I thought about Darlene Rose. Sister Darlene Rose was a missionary way back in the frontier days of going into Papua New Guinea. Her and her husband and Dr. Jeffrey were one of the first people to ever enter that part of the world. And they killed her husband. They caught her and threw her into a pit and covered it with some kind of bamboo. And every day they'd come in, she didn't have a bowl, she didn't have nothing, they'd just dip this slop and dump it, and in the sunlight she could see maggots crawling through it. And I remember in her testimony, she said, one day I prayed, God, would it be too much to ask for a banana? She said, I still haven't said amen from my prayer. Did you ever hear of her, Brother Atkins? She said, the lid to my pit opened, and a guard mumbled some crude, ugly words and threw a whole bundle of bananas down in that hole. I can't eat a banana without thinking about that poor little old missionary in a pit praying, God, if I only had a banana. I sat there this morning. I said, God, thank you for that nanner. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it one bit, but I'm going to peel it with thankfulness. Thank you for Miss Vanessa slaving over this muscadine jelly. Thank you for this bread. God, you've been good to me. You say, come on, preacher. No. I didn't deserve that. If you don't thank Him for the little things, you're going to take Him for granted in the big ones too. Amen. You know what I did when I got done? I told Him how good it was. I felt like He said, I know I made it. Amen. Be thankful. You got time for a couple more? Brother Danny's probably long-winded out there anyway. Amen. Verse number 8. I'm just going to hit these right quick and we'll go home, okay? He said, Lord, I have loved the habitation, watch this, of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Number 7, love you, church. Love your church. Let me say it again. Love your church. Brother John, you just celebrated, how many years was it? 31? 31 years. Now, Brother John, you probably don't know this brother right here. He's from Montana. Is that right? Or Wyoming. Montana. What's your first name? Alan. You don't know Alan too well. You've seen him at church a couple of times. He's Brother Broderick's brother-in-law. Now, if you went to Waffle House after church tonight and your wife went on home with your daughter and you're sitting there and you had your back to this fella and you heard him talking about a lady he saw in church and he was running that lady in the ground, you'd probably address that situation, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
You know why? That's your wife. And you've got a duty.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Anybody got a clue where I'm going?
Yeah.
Why you let people run the place where your children were saved in the ground?
Right.
You say, well, you just say that because you as a pastor, I used to be a member. And I am a member.
Yeah.
Bless God. I'm a member of this church just like you are.
Amen.
Y'all all right?
Yes.
Well, let me tell you something. I grew up where everybody in the community bad-mouthed the bus ministry. You're bribing them kids with bubble gum. If you get them in with bubble gum, you have to keep them with a hamburger. I heard that junk all my life. And you know what it did? It made me mad. It was that bus that brought me to Jesus. And I defended my church. I just told you the other night about me. I hadn't been saved long. I was going after a man on the porch of White Oak Springs Baptist Church. I was going after him. I was fixing to just dive off the porch on top of his head because he is causing my preacher trouble. I was going to hit him. And you know what? That favor has been returned to me time and again. Oh, yeah. I had to put my hand on David Naylor's neck right there one night because a man was cutting up with me and Brother David thought it was a little bit overboard. You remember that? He fixed to put his hands on him. And you know what? I didn't approve of what he did, but I sure did appreciate it. I ain't forgot it until this day. I never will. People won't run your church in the ground to your face if you'll defend it. And if there's not somebody out there running it in the ground, we ain't doing nothing. We ain't doing nothing anyway. But if we're doing something and people are getting saved and God's salvaging lives, Brother Jason, and saving homes, you know what? Somebody's already said something behind my back and why do y'all feel like you have to tell me? Because we started the RU program. You know what somebody said? Ain't you got enough drug addicts already? I said I started it for them. Bless your heart. Those of you that knows me knows I did that. That was my first intent, to help our own people who have trouble. Them idiots in their ivory towers, they pastor perfect people. Mm-hmm. No, they pastor people who can afford high-dollar drugs. Love you, church. Love you, church. When you get married, hey, the church is the bride of Christ, is that right? When you get married, you make vows, don't you? For better or worse, sickness and health, is that right? For richer or poor, we don't know the richer part. We're well aware with the poor, well acquainted. Amen? Man, I think when you join a church, man, you'll make some vows. So, hey, I'm going to support this church. Did you know when I was a kid growing up, and I'm just rattling, and I'm going to shut up, I promise? Man, yeah. When I was a kid growing up, you couldn't join the church unless you read the church covenant. All the Baptist churches around here used to have them hanging on the wall.
Right.
Anybody got a clue what that is? I won't smoke. I won't drink. I won't go dancing. I won't play cards. I forgot what all was in that thing, man. I read one of those things here a while back, and I thought, buddy, I'd do away with 3/4 of my church right there. Amen. Half y'all have to just get up and go.
Amen.
That's all right. That crowd didn't pay it no attention either, amen. But they did agree to it.
Yeah.
When I was in the 6th grade, Brother Todd, come to that piano. I can't stop. I was in the 6th grade, New Georgia Elementary School. M.T. Fuller was our principal. We had a square dancing team, 6th graders. On Monday night at the PTA meeting, we square danced for the PTA meeting. Us boys all went out into the crowd and got our mothers. You remember that, Stacy? I went and got my mama. Roger Bush went and got his mama. Wayne Newton went and got his mama. Tony Sullivan went and got his mama. Son, our deacons was so busy that next week, it'd make your head spin. Doing what? Going into the house and reprimanding every one of them mothers. Yes, I can't believe you went to a church like that. That's where I heard about Jesus. People going, I don't know how I got off on all that stuff. Love you, church. Love you, church. Verse number 11. Verse number 11, hurry. Y'all hurry. I'm trying to quit. But as for me, I'll walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. Go home, look that word integrity up. Amen. Number 8, walk in integrity. Chapter number 12, he said, my foot standeth in an even place. Find a balance in your life. Don't be ridiculous in either direction. Find the middle of the road. Amen. Lastly, last part of verse number 12. He said, in the congregation will I bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. I'm trying to keep you from falling, from slipping. Bless the Lord. Stay balanced. Walk in integrity. Love your church. Be thankful. Stay innocent by having a prayer life. Amen. Stay away from the wrong people. Remember that God loves you. Trust the Lord and ask God to judge your heart. Let's stand there. Prayer sheets are down here on the Lord's Supper table. Pick you one up. Yep, hold on. Where you at? Stop. Thank you, Brother Warren. I forgot. I knew I'd do it. I'm going to take up a love offering right quick. Help a family in our church keep their lights on. Let me have a couple ushers right fast. Right fast. You need to write a check, write it to the church. Listen, I was asked to do this by somebody else, not the family that needs help. Somebody else told me Sunday night, and I felt like I'd taken up so many offerings lately that I hated to hit you, but they're still in a kind of a dire strait and need some help. So if you can give something tonight, I promise you it'll be a help and a blessing. All right, men, you go ahead.